All right, this morning, if you have your Bibles, turn with me to the latter part of the 10th chapter of Matthew. Now, one thing that we need to realize, and the so-called Christian world doesn't realize it, so-called Christian world takes the things that Jesus taught the Jews under the law, that that's the way we as believers in Jesus Christ are supposed to live our lives. Well, we cannot live that way. The Jews couldn't live that way. Why? Because there's not a just man upon the earth that doeth good and sinneth not. Now, is it better to do good than to do evil? Absolutely. But, but none of us has the capacity to live a life that's well-pleasing to God, because there's not a just man upon the earth that doeth good and sinneth not. There's none righteous. How many? Not even one. See? Or no, not one is the way it's translated. And I like to say it the other way, not even one. So the only person who could keep the law was the Lord Jesus Christ himself. God became a man through the virgin birth, lived his life as a Jew. At age 30, he began his public ministry, and he ministered for 3 years, and then to the Jews to show them what the law was. Now, Paul tells us that the law was what? A schoolmaster. In Greek, that's a pedagogos. A pedagogos is one, it's a slave who has the responsibility of training children. Okay? So what does the law do for us? It trains us. It tells us you're a sinner. You can't satisfy God by the life that you live. You need a Savior. And of course, Christ came, and because he had given the law to the nation of Israel, Jesus had to be born as a Jew under the law. And as a Jew under the law, he was the only Jew, the only human being that has ever lived that could and did keep the law. You know, we can read about all of the, the saints in the Old Testament. Go right down the list. What does the scripture say about all of us? There's not a just man upon the earth that doeth good and what? Sinneth not. Now, when we have people teaching the Word of God that are not redeemed, all that they can see is what they see naturally. And the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. They're foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they're spiritually discerned. Now, Paul tells us, for by what? Grace are you saved through faith. Grace is the Greek word charis. It means unmerited favor. Yeah. So by the unmerited favor of God are you saved. Yeah. And in grace, grace is without works. Grace is without it's not paying a debt. Grace is taking care of something you deserve, just the opposite. So when we see that, then we can understand why, because the scripture tells us that the natural man does what? He receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. Eric's had this experience, and incidentally, with the illness that this condition, nobody likes to see anyone sick, but this condition that Emily has, very, very serious. The doctors in the hospital have been screwing them very badly, but it has done one thing so far that we would have to say is good. It's given Eric the opportunity to witness to many different people. So, that very fact, you're put in a situation. and then the way we handle things. You know, we know that our life is dependent upon God and not upon ourselves. And just by way of illustration, you know, man's life is set at what is functionally 70 years. Runs a little below, a little above, but the average is 70 years. And that was changed from the early patriarchs and so forth. Some of them lived thousands of years. So what changed? Well, in the formation of a people, they had to, they had to live a long time to produce enough children so that those that are living and dying, that pretty much maintains a population, would increase the population. And so that was done, and we see that in the wisdom of God. But then at a point in time, and I can't remember the exact verse in the Old Testament scriptures, but man's age now is 70 years. And if you go any particular week to the, you know, what do they call the...
statisticians? Obituaries?
Oh, the obituaries. That's what I was saying. I couldn't understand, John. we go to the obituaries. And we see at any point in time, we'll see babies that die. We'll see young children that die. We see middle-aged people that die. We see old people that die. And then we see some, man marvels if you get past the centenarian mark, 100 years. Yeah. Well, what is 100 years compared to eternity?
Nothing.
It's nothing. It's just snap of the fingers, 100 years. So, what kind of life did Jesus purchase for us? Eternal life. Now, it's hard for us to understand eternity, but eternity is no end. Now, would you want to live eternally in the body that you presently have? I certainly wouldn't want to live eternally. Of course, I'm not going to have any blood in eternity, but the blood that is in my heart is pumped by my heart as a pump, and now it's not doing a very efficient job. They gave me a stress test a few years ago, and within about a week of the stress test, my heart went out of rhythm, and I've gone on three different occasions and had them put paddles. You know, they stick it to you now, a metal sheet on your front side, the back side. They get you in there, and then they hook up the electrodes and give you a shot. You know, I used to do that when I was working in the commercial two-way radio business. I was tuning the Motrak one day and checking a problem in the final, and I was measuring the plate voltage in the final amplifier, and somehow or other I got my fingers across the tip of my probe, and then I reached it down and hit the netting switch. Well, it was covered with a little grounded metal container, so when I hit this, I got 800 volts from one hand to the other. And at RF frequency, that hurts. I mean, that's not like no shot you've ever had, shock you've ever had. Hurts like the very Deccan. Yeah. I said, well, that's something I don't want to do again. But, you know, when you work on high voltage, basically you put one hand in your pocket so that you can't ground yourself with the other one. Okay. We're dealing with the life of and ministry of our Lord Jesus Christ. Everything that our Lord taught the Jews is good, is right, is holy. What's the problem with the law? The problem with the law is not the law, It's good and right and holy. Jesus fulfilled every jot and tittle, the smallest marks in the Hebrew language. Fulfilled it completely, perfectly. But the problem with the law is we are the problem. Because the scripture teaches us, there's not a just man upon the earth that doeth good and sinneth not. The lack of understanding of the so-called Christian world with respect to the public ministry of our Lord Jesus Christ is infinite. There is so much false teaching about the life of Christ. People will say, oh, now that you've trusted Christ as your Savior, you couldn't keep the law before, but now you can. No, you can't. It's impossible. Why? Even though I'm saved, even though you're saved, there's not a just man upon the earth that doeth good and sinneth not. The scripture says, therefore by the deeds of the law, what? No flesh. No one will be justified in God's sight. Now, Christ didn't have to be justified. He was sinless. He's God. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. Let's look at John chapter 1 for just a moment. It says, in arche, in halagos, kai halagos, en proston theon, kai theos, en halagos. You don't understand that. That's why we don't, Eric studies in an interlinear Greek Bible for the New Testament. I study in one. We look up words and concordances. We look at all of the root meanings of those words to see if the translators translated them correctly. And in many instances, they didn't. That's why this nonsense that's been being preached for, 40 years or more, or probably longer than that, 50 years or more, that God preserved his word in the King James Bible. No, God preserved his word in the Greek, scriptures in the New Testament and in the Hebrew and Aramaic scripture of the Old Testament. And that's how it was preserved. You ask a person the question, if God preserved his word in the King James Bible, and it wasn't produced until 1611, how did he produce it for those years from the New Testament era to the beginning of the 17th century? Yeah. And they can't give you an answer. No. And then I've taken verses of scripture. I can take you, I've done it before. We may or may not do it this morning, but over in 1 John it says, he that doeth righteousness is righteous, even as he is righteous. Is that true? That's the way it's translated. But is it true? He that doeth righteousness is righteous. No, the scripture says in Titus 3:5, it's not by works of righteousness which we've done. So we have a direct contradiction. So the whole concept of preserving a word in a translation of the scriptures is a phony idea. Get off your dead butt and learn something about the original languages so that you don't have to speak them, but you have to be able to study in them. And that's part of, study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. So I read that in Greek, didn't mean a thing to you. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. Now, what is a word? What is a word? If we take in various languages of the world, if we're writing in Aramaic, it's some really kind of fancy marks. Hebrew's a little different than that. And then English and so on. All the different languages of the world, a lot of them use a common alphabet. But the words are different. So when we looked at these things, we read English. Therefore, if I'm going to understand, I have to understand in English. But I have to recognize that the translators, for example, in the book of Isaiah, all of our righteousnesses are as translated filthy rags. If we could read that in Hebrew, it's menstrual cloths. What is a woman doing? What's her body doing when she's on her period? It's casting off the blood. What was the nation of Israel doing when they said, we can keep the law? They were saying, we don't need a bloody sacrifice. Yet God gave them at the same time that he gave them the law, he gave them the pattern of the tabernacle and the sacrificial system. And he told them that, you can make an altar of earth. And of course, he gave them the pattern of the tabernacle and to use the sons of Aaron to be the priest and so forth. And established a system that what? The law condemned, but the sacrificial system did what? It provided the solution for the condemnation of the law. Did it supply it perfectly? No. It did it in type. Jesus Christ is called what? John the Baptist, in the second chapter of John, he says, Behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. So, Jesus wanted that. He's the Lamb of God. Then we just celebrated, and I really despise the word Easter. I didn't always feel that way. But Easter, as you study and as you learn, Easter is a celebration of spring to the goddess of spring, a false system. And it was the Roman church, after a couple of hundred years, they were using, the Greek and reading in the Greek. And so then they, I lost my thought. But, we have to understand that the sacrificial system pointed us to faith in Christ. So now that Christ made one sacrifice for sin, for what period of time?
Forever.
There remaineth what? No more sacrifice for sin. Now the Jews, under the law, every infraction required a particular type of sacrifice. From birds to calves to sheep to goats to various types of sacrifices at various times. Now, all of those sacrifices pointed to faith in Jesus Christ. Let's turn back to the 12th chapter of Exodus. Exodus chapter 12. Now, and the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, saying, This month shall be unto you the beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year to you. The first month of the Jewish calendar in those days was Abib. It's March, April in our calendar. But the Hebrew word Abib. Okay. So he says what they're supposed to do. Speak ye unto all the congregation of Israel, saying, in the 10th day of this month. Now, over time, the Jews have reversed their year, and I think it's the 7th month of the Jewish calendar. It is now called, it's only about October, is now called the New Year. But the scripture is very clear in this 12th chapter. The month of Abib, this month shall be the beginning of your year. So the Jews over time have got out of sequence with God. And what took place on the 10th day of the month, they were to take a lamb. They were to examine it until the 14th day of the month. So speak ye unto all the congregation in verse 3 of Israel, saying, in the 10th day of this month, they shall take to them every man a lamb according to the house of their fathers, a lamb for a house. Now, they had large families. So, a family would be able to consume the lamb. But if they didn't consume it, what they didn't eat, they had to, in the morning, the sacrifice would be in the evening of the 14th day of the month. And on the 15th day of the month, which began at sunset, they would eat the lamb, and they had to be clothed with their staffs in their hands. They had to be ready to travel. Now, when God first instituted it, this was the Exodus from Egypt. So he says unto them, and if the household be too little for the lamb, let him and his neighbor next unto his house take it, according to the number of souls, every man according to his eating. So, some guys can pack it away. I can remember when I was in high school, and they weren't these little things that you get at taco time. They were good-sized tacos. And I was skinnier than a rail, but I could eat a dozen tacos. Yeah. That's just plain gluttony. Anyway, he says, you take it according to the number of the souls, in verse 4, every man according to his eating shall make your count for the lamb. Your lamb shall be without blemish, a male of the first year. So a woman couldn't use a ewe, you had to use a male. Okay. So, this represents Christ our Passover, according to the 5th chapter of 1 Corinthians. Christ our Passover was what? Sacrifice for us. We just observed Easter. There's no Christian holiday called Easter if in the scriptures. Oh, you say, yes, there is. I found it in the 12th chapter of the Acts. It says Easter there, but the word is Pascha. Pascha is Passover. And earlier on, it's called the Feast of Unleavened Bread. The Feast of Unleavened Bread is Azimuth. So it's not Easter by any stretch of the imagination. But the Roman Church, because the pagans that they were, making Christians, you know how they did that? They drove them into rivers. They drove them into lakes. If they came out alive, they were then Christians. And I was watching a show filmed in Alaska a while back, and there was a totem pole out there. And all of a sudden, there was an Eskimo woman that went by, and she crossed herself as she passed that totem pole. You say, what is it? A pagan totem pole got to do with the Roman Catholics and their worship? Because the Roman Catholics didn't change people's minds. They just took in what they were doing. So the worship in the springtime of the goddess of spring, which is the goddess of fertility, was a big deal. And all the pagans that, had just been driven into the water, their minds hadn't been changed. They were going back to the pagan services during Easter, the worship of the goddess of spring, because what else happens in the spring? You have all kinds of births of different animals, and just about every pagan feast in the scriptures was worshiped with sexual immorality, both homosexuality and, the relationship between a man and a woman. They practice virtually everything. And they didn't change anything. They just put their approval. So we study and we find out that Jesus was to be 3 days and three nights, because he says that as Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the heart of earth, the earth, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and in the belly of the great fish, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. There are not 3 days and three nights between Friday and Sunday before dawn. No. But because people don't understand the scripture, because they don't study to show themselves approved unto God, all they've got to do is read the 12th chapter of the book of Exodus, and we see that Jesus, if you go into the 11th chapter, you see he came from Ephraim, and from Ephraim to Jericho, and from Jericho to Bethany 6 days before the Passover. Now, when he arrived at Bethany, the sun went down. Okay? So, by John used Roman time, so it's still the sixth day. But in Matthew, Mark, and Luke, at sunset, what was it on the ninth of the month? At sunset becomes the tenth of the month. When was the lamb to be selected for the Passover? On the tenth day of the month. They had a feast for Jesus, and happened to be the Sabbath. And they had a feast for Jesus. And then the next day, he made his entry into Jerusalem. Now, if he did that, as we pointed out back at Easter time, he traveled from Ephraim to Jericho and from Jericho to Bethany when 6 days before the Passover, and if that was a Friday, as the Roman Church, church tradition says, if he traveled that, or if the next day was the, if the triumphal entry, I'll get it right, if the triumphal entry was on Sunday, Good Friday, Palm Sunday, if he made that entry on Sunday, what did he do on Saturday? He violated the Sabbath. Now, Jesus tested the Jew with respect to the Sabbath, but he didn't, he wouldn't have traveled 25 or 30 miles the day before the Sabbath. Yeah. We don't know where he started from. We just know he'd been in the mountains of, I said the name a while ago, I can't remember it now. Old age is wonderful. So, Christ our Passover was sacrificed for. We've seen that happened perfectly and completely, but not according to our traditions. What did the Jews do with their traditions? You make the word of God of none effect through what? Your traditions. So, are we to operate according to the truth of the Word of God, or are we to operate according to our traditions? And, of course, I was told when I had taught exactly how everything had taken place and that Christ made that the ninth of the month was, on a Friday he arrived at the tenth of the month, would be a Saturday, but then that doesn't work out for a Friday or a Friday crucifixion. Okay? Because if you count back, if Saturday was the 15th, and that was supposed to be the Passover. So what? You've got the 14th, that's Friday, and can't do it in my head, but it were. Just the numbers of days requires that Jesus would have had to travel on the Sabbath day and make his triumphal entry on Sunday, and that would make him a Sabbath breaker. Then, if we're going to actually do it counting backwards, it should be a Palm Monday, not a Palm Sunday. So what does tradition do? Tradition are started by men, and people become very, very sentimental over them. And when you teach the truth about them, some people just plain get angry. You know. So, what is Jesus doing? Jesus is a Jew under the law. And he was born as a Jew under the law. Joseph was not his father, but his father, but his foster father. And God was his father, and Mary was his mother. He was born of a virgin. He had to be born of a virgin so he could redeem us, because the life of the flesh is in the blood, and our sin nature is cast from, or passed from father to son, through the blood. So that's why Jesus had to be virgin born. So it came to pass in chapter 11 of Matthew now, when Jesus had made an end of commanding his 12 disciples, he departed thence to teach and to preach in their cities. Now, when John had heard in the prison the works of Christ. Now, why was John in prison? Well, you remember Herod, Salome, she danced, turned the old boy on. You can have up to a half of my kingdom, you know. And her mother told her, no, we don't want that. We want the head of John the Baptist in a charger. Now, you think about gruesome. You cut a man's head off, set it on a platter, and carry it before the king. That's what happened to John the Baptist. Now, why did that happen to John the Baptist? John the Baptist wasn't promoting himself. John the Baptist was the forerunner. If the Jews had accepted Jesus as the Christ, and of course we know that it had to work the way it was, because Christ had to die for our sins as Christ our Passover. He had to be buried. He had to rise from the dead. But look at Malachi chapter 3. Okay, now it says, let's see where I want to begin. Third chapter of Malachi. Behold, I will send my messenger, and he shall prepare the way before me, and the Lord whom you seek shall suddenly come to his temple, even the messenger of the covenant whom you delight in. Behold, he shall come, saith the Lord, but who may abide the day of his coming? The Jews couldn't keep the law. And so Jesus fulfilled it. And then he told them, you know, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh unto the Father but how? But by me. Now the common people heard Jesus gladly. But the religious rulers, with all of their tradition, all of their power, and recognition by the Roman government, what did they say about Jesus? We will not have this man to do what? To reign over us. Now, back in the 11th chapter, let me back up to the verse 36 in the 10th chapter. Let's begin reading. Jesus says this in verse 35. Now, he's speaking to the Jews. These are Jews under the law. And he says, I am come to set a man at variance against his father, and the daughter against her mother, and the daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. A man's foes shall be they of his own household. Now, we've got Jews who believe that they can be justified by the lives that they live. And then we have those Jews that receive the message preached by the apostles, preached by our Lord Jesus Christ. Remember, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. So in the Jewish family, those that broke away to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and it's true today as well, you know, they count the person who leaves Judaism to be dead. You know, they have nothing to do with them. If you ever watched the movie Fiddler on the Roof, you saw the one daughter that married a Gentile. And, you know, have you change his mind later on. They do that in the movies. But in an Orthodox Jewish family, if you leave Orthodox Judaism for faith in Christ, and there are many Jews who've done that, that are saved, then your family counts you dead, you know, and they have no dealings with you. So that's why it says, he that loveth father or mother in verse 37 more than me is not worthy of me. And he that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And he that taketh not his cross, what's a cross? Cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. A cross is a sign of a curse. Cursed is everyone that continueth not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. Who is that? Well, it's the entire Jewish population, except for those that believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, we were never under the law, but many people think that they can keep the law. So what do we do when we say that, oh, Christians have to keep the law? They're just, you know, reversing. Jesus paid the price of the curse. He became a curse for us. And they're saying, we don't need him. We can do it ourselves. You see how serious it really is, you know, for these people that, they get caught up in law. They can become very legalistic. They say, well, you've got to love your neighbor as yourself. You know, I liked what Ben Rumson said in, I'll just leave him blankety-blank alone. Yeah. Supposed to love your neighbor. He said, and whenever she had a wife, he loved her wife. He wasn't talking in a spiritual sense. Okay? So Jesus says to the nation of Israel, he that taketh not his cross and followeth after me. What does the scripture say? Cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. So a tree is a sign of a curse. And cursed is everyone that continueth not in all things that which are written in the book of the law to do them. That's the entire nation of Israel. They're cursed by the law. And those of us, you know, under various other religious systems in the world that think that we can be justified before God by the lives that we live, what is it? You're cursed. You know, the only way to have the curse removed is by the Lord Jesus Christ. And he that taketh not his cross. What is a cross? It's a sign of a curse. He that taketh not his cross and followeth after me is not worthy of me. If you think you're good enough to go to heaven just because you say, oh, how I love Jesus, that'll end you in you straight in hell. You have to have the Spirit of God quicken the preaching of the Word of God to your mind so that you understand that he died for your sins and that you cannot keep the law. You're saved by grace, and grace is unmerited favor. That's why we have so much trouble with so many people that call themselves Christians. We're saying we're saved by grace. And they say, as they did to the Apostle Paul, they said of Paul, he has left Judaism, he's left the law, so he can do anything that he wants. And Paul said of them, their damnation is just. People who think they're justified before God by the works of their own hands, their damnation is just, because they have rejected the fact that the law has condemned them. Have you ever hated anybody? You know, really got mad? Do you know what she did to me? You know, or this or that? And of course, the other side of it, if you hate a man without a just cause, you've committed murder in your heart. You know, if you look at on a woman, boy, she's a good looking. Yeah, she's really sexy. Yeah, you're an adulterer. Yeah, the law goes far beyond mere observations. the law requires, well, we can't keep it because we have a sin nature, and it's our nature to sin, and we have to be redeemed from that sin nature, and then indwelt by the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, according to the Gospel of John, and indwelt by the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. If we say that we have not sinned, what do? We lie. We deceive ourselves. We cannot live to the perfect standard of God's law. But the law wasn't made to justify it. It was made to condemn us. So, in verse 39, it says, "He that findeth his life shall lose it." And look how many Christians in the first century were put to death. Jews who had become Christians were put to death by other Jews in the various other religious system. Paul was stoned to death at Lystra. That's the instigation of the Jews. God took him into heaven, gave his life back to him, and later on he had his head removed from his body by a Roman axe. So, he that receiveth you, he's talking about believers, he that receiveth you, receiveth me. And he that receiveth me, receiveth him that sent me. Who sent the Lord to this earth? The Father. Yeah. So our God is one God, made up of three persons, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. He that receiveth a prophet in the name of a prophet shall receive a prophet's reward. He that receiveth a righteous man. Well, each one of us, as believers in Jesus Christ, are declared to be righteous. Not our own. The righteousness of Jesus Christ is imputed or charged to our account. He that receiveth a prophet in the name of a prophet shall receive a prophet's reward. And he that receiveth a righteous man in the name of a righteous man shall receive a righteous man's reward. What is a righteous man's reward? To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord, and to depart and be with Christ is far better. We have a reward in heaven. And then the Lord is going to come. Well, the next event that's going to take place in this world, prophetically speaking, is the trumpet's going to sound. Whether the world will hear it or not, we don't know. But all of us as believers will hear it. And we're going to be just like the disciples in the upper room. When Jesus came and stood in their midst, they were terrified and affrighted. Yeah. When that trumpet sound, we've been looking for it for 2,000 years. But when that trumpet sounds, I think it's going to scare the living daylights out of us for a moment. Just as when Jesus appeared in the upper room, the disciples were afraid for a moment. And he said to them, "Just calm down. You're not seeing a ghost. Handle me and see. Spirit hath not flesh and bones as you see me have." Okay. And so, now we're still dealing with Jews, but Jesus is trying to get the Jews to recognize that he's their Savior. And whosoever should give a drink to one of these little ones a cup of cold water only in the name of a disciple, verily I say unto you, he shall in no wise lose this reward. Well, the Jewish people as a whole hated those that came over and believed on the Lord. So it came to pass when Jesus had made an end of commanding his 12 disciples, he departed thence to preach and to teach in their cities. And then we're going to have next week, we're going to see a bit of the final ministry of John the Baptist, who, final thing that took place for him, Salome danced. Her mother said, she was offered up to half of my kingdom because you pleased me. Her mother said, "Ask for John the Baptist's head on a platter." because I've suffered many things. What was John doing? He was using the law lawfully. And, you know, we take these people that, you know, ruled in Israel. Some of them, you know, the Herods were of the lineage of Esau, this long before the Muslim faith. And, but, you know, they hated the Jews. And, of course, then the Jews and those that, like Herod, they hated the Christians. And, of course, there was salvation in Israel, in Judaism, in the sacrificial system, until when?
Christ came.
Yeah. Well, Christ came, he fulfilled the law, he fulfilled all righteousness, he died for sin, he rose again the third day, on the day of Pentecost, he sent his Holy Spirit to the church. They were told to tarry in Jerusalem until you be endued with power. Now, we don't have to tarry in the day in which we live. The Spirit enters us at the moment of salvation. Not just the Spirit of God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, according to the 14th chapter of the Gospel of John. We're indwelled by the Godhead. So, you know, we're not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together, but no matter where we are, we can have fellowship with the entire Godhead because he indwells us. You know? And so we're not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is. And what? Thus the more as you see what? The day approaching. What is that day? Boy, look at this messed up world. But it's working so hard to take America. Why has America been the one country that people wanted to come to? I mean, we've had socialism and kingdoms and so everything, all this type of thing, everywhere else in the world. And the people that came here established a free people. You know, and as Paul said to the Galatians, stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherein Christ has made you free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. What's been happening ever since Sleepy Joe has been our president? I mean, the whole world's going crazy. But they want to have a one-world system because they're going to, in their minds, produce a perfect society. What's happening in who's Russia fighting?
Ukraine.
Okay. They used to be the Soviet Union. You know, a lot of the soldiers didn't want to fight them because they're brethren. Yeah, but we're going to have peace. What a joke.
Yeah.
But they will for a period of time under the Antichrist. But if you don't receive what the Antichrist has to say, or if you believe the gospel during that period of time, church is going to be caught away. 144,000 are going to come back and preach. And as I read the scripture, 10th chapter of Matthew, you won't be gone over the cities of Israel until the Son of Man be come. That suggests that the only place the gospel is going to be found during the Great Tribulation period is in Israel. And people will say, I think it's in Isaiah, people are going to join themselves to a Jew because I've heard that God's with you. Yeah. So this whole world is rocking and rolling. One day the Lord will say, okay, come on out so the devil can make it the utopia that the world's looking for. And for a period of time, they're going to think they have it. And then, you know, after that, all hell's going to break loose, bluntly. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Father, we praise you and thank you for the marvelous truth of your word. We thank you for the ministry of John the Baptist, who was a forerunner of Christ, to tell the Jews that their Savior was coming. They killed Herod, they killed our Lord Jesus Christ, or they killed John the Baptist and our Lord Jesus Christ. Why? Because they spoke the truth. And of course, if we were to be present in this world during the tribulation period, they'd want to kill us too. But the only people witnessing the truth during that period of time will be the 144,000 who were the first fruits unto the Lord. When Christ rose, then they rose after and ascended with him into heaven. And they'll come back and minister while we will be in your presence in heaven. We just praise you and thank you for the hope that's ours in Christ. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.